Good morning. I count it a privilege to be with you and to share the word. Praise the Lord. Appreciate Nathaniel's sensitivity this morning and giving people opportunity to get prayed for and to pray. It's good, I believe. Before I start, I wanted to just make mention that I'm leaving. Day after tomorrow, I go off to Eastern Europe for 3 weeks. I know it sounds like a long time, but when I get over there, I go a lot of places. And if I made a trip over for a week and came back and then made another trip over for a week and came back and made another, it just wouldn't be very financially responsible. So I just stay over there. I'm in three different major cities and in between, I'm running a lot. I was asking Ryan and Nathaniel, pray for me. I'll be on 10 airline flights, 10 airplanes. Okay, so, when you say, I hope everything goes okay, it's just almost like, okay, yeah, right, that's what happens. I've already had two messages that they changed the flight on some of them, and I don't want to get into all that, but God knows, and I'll be there, and I'm going to Ukraine, and people always say, is it dangerous in Ukraine? Well, it's dangerous anywhere, isn't it? I've been a lot of places that were dangerous, but, I don't think about it. Last time I was there, I was watching the rockets go into Kiev and blow it up, but we were a good ways off. We were about 100 miles away, but you could still see them. But so we're going, I go in to see the pastors that are there that are still hanging on. I'll just tell you a few stories. Back about 8 years ago, I went to Eastern Ukraine. I don't know if you guys follow the news, but I went to Donetsk and Luhansk. These are the two areas that Vladimir Putin is asking to give to, these are regions. Just like we have Davis County, they have regions that are, they have what they call oblasts. Oblasts are like counties or regions. And the Luhansk and the Donetsk regions are something that Russia wants because it gives them a highway down to Crimea, which they now have Crimea. So I could see that coming back in 2016. That was why they were fighting then. They were wanting that area. Plus, it's rich in natural gas and oil and you name it, a lot of resources. I don't know if you follow the news. I follow a lot of this just to keep up with it because I met pastors in those regions. And those pastors, I don't know if they're alive now or not. I don't know. I met one young man, him and his wife. His name was Maxim, and his wife's name was Alina. They'd had no children. They didn't want to have children while the fighting was going on. And, of course, there was fighting in 2016. How much fighting's taken place in the last 8 years there? And didn't have children. He was a pastor of a small Baptist church. And I asked him, at that time, they could take off for the West if they wanted to and get into a safe area. And I said, well, have you thought about leaving with your young wife and going? Because we had two Russian refugees with us. And these men, they were Russian, They're not, they're Ukrainian, but they're Russian descent. How many knows that Russia at one time was, or Ukraine one time was a part of Russia? Did you know that? I mean, it was a part of Russia. Russia set the boundaries for Ukraine after World War II. Russia set the boundaries for Ukraine. And so I says, well, they're trying to take over Ukraine. Well, it used to be theirs. And I don't want to get into the politics and stuff, but so I asked Maxim and Alina why they didn't go to the East, and he said, well, look, he said, I have a church here. My church can't leave, and I'm not going to leave my church. So he stayed there, and as far as I know, he's there today, and now it's under Russian control. But anyway, just pray for us as we go, and pray for what's going on there in Ukraine, and pray that the United States will get out of everybody's business. Never mind, I didn't say that. But anyway, we have a responsibility to go and to encourage and to let people know we care about what's going on in their lives, and I feel like that's part of what I go to Romania for. And Lord willing, we want to continue this. Some of you got my letter. I told you I was going to be 73 years old. I'm looking for replacements because I can't keep doing this for the rest of. Oh, I don't think I can keep doing this very. I don't know how many more trips I got in me, but we'll see what happens. And I want to see if we can keep up this relationship with Eastern Europe. I want to keep this relationship with Eastern Europe between Harvest. Because I represent you when I go. I want you to know that I represent Harvest. I talk about Harvest. I talk about our fellowship here. And so I just want you to know that we're leaving. So I'll get into the Word now, okay? Praise the Lord. I only got 4 or 5 scriptures today. I don't know how to act. Get this up. Merlin said, are you that tall? No, it's my eyes. Okay, read Philippians. I got it here written in my notes. Read Philippians 3, 12 through 16. So that's where we're going. Philippians 3, 12 through 16. It says, not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as are perfect, have this attitude. And if in anything you have a different attitude, God will reveal that also to you. However, let us keep living by the same standard to which we have attained. I'm picking it up after something was already said before in this chapter. I'll have to go back and refer to that a little bit. If you go back to verse 8, let me just read that a little bit, because he's stating what I just read based on what he had said in verse 8 and 9. He said, more than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish in order that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, I know we've already heard a message on that, but I had to read that because then what I just read to you out of verse 12 has something to do with that. Let me ask this question. What is the goal of Paul's life? What's the goal of life for the believer? What's the goal of Paul's life? I just wrote a few blurbs from what we read there out of verse 8 through 10. It says knowing Christ, gaining Christ, being found in Christ. And in verse 10, it says, knowing him. There's a lot about knowing and gaining and being in Christ. There's a lot about that. It has nothing to do with salvation. He's saved. He's already redeemed. He's been redeemed. But after he'd been redeemed, it's like he put this goal in front of him of knowing Christ. Later on in verse 14, he says, I press on toward the goal for the prize. What's the prize? The prize. The prize, and he says, of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You know, I read a number of commentaries. I always read commentaries just to see what they say. And there was a bit of confusion from different commentators on what Paul was talking about. Some of them thought he was talking about His goal was the resurrection of the dead. Some of them thought his goal was Christ. Well, either way, when you get resurrected from the dead, you're going to meet Christ. You know, either way, Christ is the thing that's going to be with there in the end. We're going to be there looking at him. And I believe what the goal was is everything we've been saying in verses 9 and 10. The prize is that's everything that Paul was looking for in Christ. I think verses 12 through 16 gives us a posture, kind of a posture of heart that helps us to pursue these goals. Gives us a view of how we can pursue these goals. Things that can hinder pursuing the goal. Things that can hinder us winning the prize. And things that can help us to pursue these goals and win the prize. I like to read the Jewish Bible. It's called the full title is Complete Jewish Bible. I like to see how the Jews think about some of these scriptures. Because, you know, Jesus was a Jew. You know, it kind of helps, you know. It kind of helps. And they say, this is how they say it. I keep pursuing the goal in the hope of taking hold. This is out of first verse there. I keep pursuing the goal in the hope of taking hold of that for which Messiah Jesus took hold of me. In other words, Jesus took hold of me for a purpose. And that purpose had something to do with him. Jesus took hold of Paul that Paul might take hold of Jesus. Paul knew Jesus over and against everything he had learned in Judaism. He said, I count all things as a loss that I may gain Christ. Everything he learned in Judaism, he just laid it aside and he went after Christ. Not to be saved. You got to keep thinking about it. He was saved. He experienced Christ on the road to Damascus. He repented of his sins, was baptized. You know, he had all that stuff in the past. But he felt like there was more to Jesus than just getting saved. I want to stress that because I believe I'm talking to believers here. Let's talk about taking hold of Jesus for a moment. These things came to mind. You know, when I teach on the cross or I talk about the cross, I'm kind of a redundant guy, okay? Because I know people can't hear one thing one time and remember it sometimes. If you're like me, you have to hear things over and over. You got to get immersed in something. Before you know, the idea of getting marinated in something before you start smelling like it, okay, or thinking like it. And one of the things I always say when I teach on the cross is that Jesus said of himself, it isn't some theologian telling us what Jesus was, it's what Jesus called himself. He called himself a ransom. The Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy called Jesus a ransom. They use that specific word. Now, when I say that to people, they'll sometimes call it a redeemer. But I don't think sometimes we don't talk about redeemers very often except in church, right? We don't talk. But we do talk about ransoms because we all have a thought that comes to mind when someone's a ransom. Jesus told them in Mark 10:45, he says, I came to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. A ransom for many. Now, let me just go through what a ransom is. A ransom is a valuable gift. It's a very valuable gift that's given on behalf of someone who's very valuable to the one who gives the ransom. Correct? Are you tracking? A ransom redeems and brings back. A ransom is given so that it can bring someone back. Most of the times a ransom is given in order to secure the release of a loved one who's been taken hostage, right? If you go to Mexico, and they'll tell you stories about people that had been ransomed down there. I knew the guy that owned one of the biggest cigar plantations down there. They took his wife. He was from Finland, I think it was. And so he brought some strong-armed boys out of Finland to go chase those Mexican guys and get his wife back. And I think he got her back, which is unusual. Because down there, sometimes you don't get them back. Well, anyway, a ransom's given in order to secure the release of a loved one who's been taken hostage. In the case of Jesus, he was given as a ransom to secure the release, our release, from sin. We'd been taken hostage by sin, right? You see that? But the question remains, who was the ransom? This precious gift of Jesus. Who was the gift of Jesus' life given to? Who was he given to? I think that's what we're studying here today. We're seeing what Paul is saying. You see what Paul is saying? See, since the Bible teaches that no one other than ourselves was responsible for our sins, I want you to know no one can repent for you. You have to do that yourself. You repent. Basically, when you're confronted with the claims of the gospel, you repent because of your sins. You give up your sin. Now, you don't have the power to overcome them, but Jesus comes in, gives you the power to overcome sin because of what he's done for you. So we're responsible for our enslavement to sin. So I would have to conclude that the ransom, now listen, the ransom was given for us, but it was also given to us. You see that? The ransom was huge enough to make us want to give up our sin, become a roadblock to sin, but at the same time, it was given to us. Christ became ours. He is ours, and we are his. That's what I think we're reading here in this scripture. Paul is saying, he delivered me, he gave me salvation, and now I want to know him because I have the opportunity to come to him and know him. Abigail was sharing a thought with me on the way up here. That usually happens. And, you know, Jesus, it says in the Bible that Jesus is an intercessor. He's in heaven interceding for us. Right now, he's interceding for us. You know, we were kind of interceding for people around the room today. And I think she felt that thought. And the fact is, when we intercede for others, we're joining in the ministry of Jesus. We're adapting ourselves to the same ministry that he's involved in. We're becoming a part of him and what he does and what he is. And this is a... So anyway, Christ Jesus took hold of Paul that Paul might be able to take hold of Jesus. The ransom redeemed Paul so that Paul could get to know the great value of the ransom. That's what I would call it. So this is our call as well, as if you've been redeemed and you've given your heart to Jesus, it's your call too, to know him, to gain him, to experience more of who he is. You say, well, how do we do that, Jeff? Do we just pray all the time? No, it's part and parcel of as you commit your life to him and walk through the life around you, meeting people. You know, as I go overseas, okay, you could do it anywhere. You can do it anywhere. Wherever you're at. You can experience the life of Christ wherever you're at and know more about him in any situation. And I know there's some difficult situations out there. Okay, in verse 13, try to move on. He says, Paul gives us a bit of a mindset for laying hold of Jesus. What kind of mindset do we have in order to lay hold of Christ or to get to know Christ or get to gain Christ or get to more of Jesus in our lives? Well, Paul says, here's one thing I do. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. This has got to be a mindset that we hold. Now, what's in the past? What is in the past that we need to think about Paul? He he was there when they killed somebody. He was giving credence to someone being stoned to death. He had a lot of stuff in his past, but he had to forget what lied behind him. He had to quit looking to the past, and he had to look what was ahead. Now, this is hard for us. It's hard for a lot of us. But let me give you some thoughts about the past, as the scripture seems to indicate things that have to do with our past. Let's go to, please turn to these scriptures with me so you can read them yourself. Romans 8. Now, I don't think this was a transcribing error or anything like that. I think there was a specific purpose in this. This is Romans 8. We love this scripture because it talks about the love of Jesus. Now, nothing can separate us from the love of Jesus. It says in verse 38 and 39, it says, "For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, not powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." Now, if you're reading that with me, which it's hard to hear it all and see it, but did you notice something that was left out? He said, things present, nor things to come. Things present or things to come. Do you see the past up there? It doesn't say things of the past. The past is gone. 2 Corinthians 5. It tells us that if any man's in Christ, old things have passed away. Behold, all things become new. The past is gone. The past is gone. There's no past up there. Apparently, if he didn't put it in there, then that's one thing that could separate us from Christ, is us dwelling on the past. Come on now. That'd be a good place to put a shout and amen and point at me. The thing that can separate you from Christ, love, is you dwell on the past. You sit there and think about the past all the time. What's the past supposed to be done? What are you supposed to do with the past? It's God forgives the past. He lets go of it. He remembers it. As far as the east is from the west, what? So far he has removed our transgressions. And I don't think Jeff's some martyr. I can get caught up in the past. I can. I've made a lot of mistakes. I've made a lot of sins in the past. And the thing is, I have to keep moving forward. There's nowhere to go. You can't just stay here. You have to keep moving. You have to keep going. I want to show you another scripture. 1 Corinthians 3. I like for you to look at these in the Bible or on your phone or whatever. I don't just so you or write them down and look at them later. Meditate on a little bit. Or I have. 1 Corinthians 3, 21 through 23. I'm going to read it. It says, "So then let no one boast in men, for all things belong to you." These are the things that belong to you. "Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all things belong to you and you belong to Christ and Christ belongs to God." Things present, things to come, what doesn't belong to you? The past. Say that real loud. The past. It doesn't belong to you. Keep your hands off of it. Don't go back there. It's not yours. And I think Paul lived that. Paul was kind of a rough, tough guy, I think. You know, I could tell you some of the things he told some people one time when they were trying to get people to circumcise themselves to be right with God, but I'm not going to repeat that in church. That's right. He was pretty rough on people that didn't abide by the grace of the gospel. All right, so the past doesn't belong. So Paul encourages the church to forget the past, press forward to what lies ahead, what God has in store for them. Sure, you blew it yesterday, but it's gone. Learn from it. Give it to God and press on. Press on, verse 14. Press on towards the goal. I got to get back to Philippians here. Press on towards the goal of the upward call. See, I think the prize here is knowing Christ and how that affects the life. Knowing Jesus, worshiping Him, knowing Him, spending time with Him. It doesn't mean more church services. It just means when you're out and about, you're talking to Him, calling on Him, and spending time with Him. Now, in verse 15 and 16, you see, I think 14 is the end of that thought. And in 15, he says, let us therefore. So he's, like Brad always says, find out what it's there for. We go back. All of that was to say, okay, now, this what we're talking about here is maturity. In my Bible, it uses the word perfect. Sometimes that's a hard word in my Bible because they're using it literally, but it means complete. If you're complete, if you have a complete understanding of what you're here for and what your goal is and what the prize is, if you're mature, that's a better word. If you're mature, a lot of the commentators said it was maturity. If you're a mature person, you'll forget the past. You hear me? If you want to be mature, if you don't walk in maturity, you can't sit around and dwell on the past. You have to be looking forward to where God's taking you. We need this attitude about forgetting what's behind and moving forward. We need not to think we can be perfected in this life. See, a lot of times the reason we dwell on the past is we're more concerned about perfection in our character, okay? And there's nothing wrong with wanting to be good and right in your character, but you'll never get there by dwelling on the past. It's getting, knowing Jesus, it's getting closer to Jesus, it's walking in an intimate way with Jesus that changes you, changes your life. We need not to think we can be perfected in this life, but that we can press forward knowing Christ in this life and growing up in Him until the day we die or we're resurrected. So the prize is not necessarily, I think sometimes, in fact, in the commentators, they said it wasn't salvation. But I believe the prize is Jesus Himself. That's the prize we got. That's what we got when He redeemed us. He was given to us. What we do with Christ is up to us. He's there. You have salvation. But the prize is to know Him, to have more of Him. Sometimes people don't like that word. You know, you can have more of Jesus. Well, they're not really, our language is limited in how to express certain things. It isn't like, you got a little bit of Jesus one day and you got a little more of Him the next. It's when you get more of Jesus, it's you recognizing more of His presence around you and in you. You recognizing Him in everything you do. Whatsoever things you do, do all for the glory of God, right? It's everything in your life, in your business, in your work. Looking, watching, listening for Jesus. You can have more of that. You can walk with Him in an intimate way that you find very rare in the world around you. That's it. That's all I got. What's so funny? I don't even know what, is it early? I don't even know what time it is. Well, yeah, you guys need to. You'll still beat the Baptist to me at Pueblo, don't worry. Let's stand, and then I'll set you back down. But let's stand, and let's honor God by standing and just pray over this. And I'm going to pray for you, but pray for yourself. Pray that the Lord will help you to walk this out. And I think the big thing here is about letting go of the past. God says it doesn't belong to you. It doesn't belong to you. Remember that. Anytime you start going back there, start making judgments about yourself and stuff, just remember, God said, no, it doesn't belong to you. That's not, that just destroys, that just keeps you from my love. That just pushes my love away from you when you start thinking about all the sins and mistakes you made in the past. I think that's so important for us today. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for every person in this room. Thank you for their heart. Thank you for their desire. Lord, you gave them that desire to seek you. You gave them that desire to know you. And I pray, Lord, this week that the Holy Spirit will draw them out, draw them after you, Lord God. Lord, you're there. May they be like Paul, that they want to know you in the power of your resurrection, in the fellowship of your suffering. When they go through suffering times, let them know you in that situation. When they go through the times of great power and seeing your power, let them know you in that situation. Let them pursue you with an insatiable desire to have more of you working and knowing in their life. And that, Lord, we don't even understand it all, but we know it's available. You were given for us that we might know you and we might have you. So, Lord, I pray how that works out in our lives this week. I pray it'll just happen in us, Lord God. Bless and encourage them. May they see Jesus in every situation and circumstance of their life. And I ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. You may be seated.